I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, everybody knows that the president is famous for his unfiltered social media. But if you take at face value the idea that calling your opponents traitors and then specifically saying that it warrants the death penalty is reckless, inappropriate, irresponsible, there are a number of other ways to describe it, but it's not something that is helping the country heal wounds. I think it stirs things up, and really, I think we can do better. So I think both sides have been doing this, and I think the language on treason and traitors, both to Republicans and Democrats, is, as I said, reckless, inappropriate, irresponsible.
Reckless, inappropriate, irresponsible. And I echo the words of Senator Rand Paul. And yes, it's happening on both sides. Is Trump mainly to blame for it? No, it depends upon your view to point, doesn't it? Or is he responding more than they expect him to respond? Is it out of line either way? Let's make a mark in the sand right now. All of those that believe that Trump is the one responsible for everything that's gone wrong and all the name-calling and the calls for executions and the death threats against a Supreme Court justice, much less a U.S. president and a future candidate as president, stand on one side. Got your side? If you believe that, all is on Trump's fault. If you believe it's all on the Democrat side, go to the other side. Which side are you on right now? What we do need, and I will agree with Senator Rand Paul to this, we need to bring a halt to all of it. But yet every time I hear somebody say, we need to stop this. You guys need to stop this. That's what it comes down to. We're not doing anything wrong. That's our attitude in many cases. The fact is, we are all in this together. And this is not the way it should be. So much for the peacemakers. But what we do need to do is get past this. The faster, the better. But we're never going to really get past it because of the folks who hate Trump so much. That's really what this comes down to. And because he then responds with some remarks about, you know, if you're not going to follow your orders and everything else, you're not going to carry things out, you could be acting in treason. Well, that's a stated principle of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Anyone who served in the military knows that. You take that as part of your oath. If you're not going to serve in the capacity of our nation and you're going to actually work with the enemy against our nation, you're in violation of the University Code of Military Justice, Universal Code of Military Justice. And that is subject to treason, execution. So who are you going to blame this time? Whoever spoke up last, right? Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, November 21, 2025. You think things are getting a little tight around the neck for you right now? How'd you like to be a turkey? Yeah. Oh, my God, here comes Turkey Day. But in the meantime, where is the spirit of giving and forgiving and grace and love? We've not had that in this country ever since Donald Trump ran for president and then actually won. Oh, my God, he won. And then he ran again. And he lost because, you know, some little shenanigans here and there. You don't believe me? That's fine. Or he lost because he should have lost. They made sure he did. And then, of course, when he came to running again, he was going to lose again. They were going to make sure he was. But then their candidate kind of wandered off in the desert somewhere and couldn't find him. Check the ice cream stand. That's where you should have been looking. I know. Here, Larry, you just finished preaching to us to quit that kind of rhetoric. Talk nicer, politely. Be nice. Going to be nice here. I'm going to be very nice. Are you listening? You want me to sing it? No, I'm not going to do it. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Never mind. That ended that right there. We are in hour number one, Larry Connors USA, November 21, 2025. And reminding you, with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have right this moment. I promise you that. You want to test me? Take notes. We'll find out at the end of the month, the end of the program, actually. Every day you're going to learn something. In our next hour, the latest on Epstein and Hakim. And actually, I said the next hour. I think I'm going to put some of that into this hour. I'm going to focus a little bit more on Ukraine in the second hour. So we're going to deal with Epstein and Ukraine both this hour and the next hour, but primarily we're going to deal with the Epstein case coming up later in this hour. And that would be next hour as well. We'll have some of that. Later this hour, the story behind the story of a tragedy that happened 50 years ago, immortalized in the words of a song written by Gordon Lightfoot, the singing of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I think already you're hearing the song in your ears and then you're replaying it. But what do you really know about the facts? We have the story behind the story before we wrap this hour. Also reminding you, while we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And reminding you, everything goes up later as a podcast at Newstalk STL, at LarryConnorsUSA.com, and Larry Connors USA Facebook. Have a poker playing friend I haven't seen for a long time. He's down in Texas. Said, "Man, I've been listening to your program. I love it." I said, "Good. Send me the money you owe me." Haven't heard from him since. Probably won't either. But let's get back to the issue here in front of us right now, and that is how we continue to have the left. The left is always the first to jump on the bandwagon saying, "You guys aren't playing nice." And yet they're the ones pulling the knives and planning all the plots. They are. But, of course, they want to appear to be above the throne. They want to appear to hold the high moral ground. You want an example? Let's begin with Senator Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota.
What is dangerous is the President of the United States threatening these members of Congress with death, literally saying that they should be executed. As Mark Kelly said, he is someone who has flown a plane that a missile ran nearly on that plane. He has taken in anti-aircraft fire. He has launched into space, into orbit on behalf of his country. And he never thought that a president of the United States would try to execute him or to tell people. This is not at all a game. My dear friend, Melissa Hortman, the former Speaker of the House, and her husband were killed in cold blood with someone who was engaging in political violence. That was the shooter. Or my other friends there took between them, a husband and wife, 17 shots. Or what happened to Charlie Kirk, that assassination. Members of Congress, threats have gone from 1,600 to over 14,000 in just a few years, and that is every year. That's what we're dealing with right
Senator
now.
Senator Klobuchar, do you want to add how many of those threats involve left crazies? Left crazies? I'm not going to give anyone a pass for being a crazy like that. But why don't you point out the facts? You talk about the numbers. Why don't you look at the percentage of how many involved the left crazies? I never heard you once call out, how dare they try to assassinate members of Congress while practicing for a baseball game. I never heard you call out for the threat upon a sitting U.S. Supreme Court judge. Never once. I didn't hear you call out about the threat and attack against Donald Trump. Not once, but twice and more. And you put words yourself into their mouths that they never really said. I'm going to acknowledge some of the things that Trump has said and allude to. You could say that gets pretty close to the line, Larry. I'll accept that. But he never said we're going to execute members of Congress. Give me an effing break. Carolyn Leavitt.
This morning, President Trump accused six Democratic lawmakers of seditious behavior punishable by death. Just to be clear, does the president want to execute members of Congress?
No. Let's be clear about what the president is responding to.
Sure.
Because many in this room want to talk about the president's response, but not what brought the president to responding in this way.
Yep.
You have sitting members of the United States Congress who conspired together to orchestrate a video message to members of the United States military, to active duty service members, to members of the national security apparatus, encouraging them to defy the president's lawful orders.
Now, that's correct. That is correct. And she said the bottom line question was, is he wanting them to execute? He said the answer was simple. No. No. But look at what the other side is doing. They don't want you to look at both sides. I don't care if you look at both sides. I want you to look at both sides. Has Trump said some things that are out of line in my view? Yes. And I've called him out for it. And I will continue. But what they want to do is take any little innuendo and they build a major, major story out of it. Senator Marshall Blackburn.
Secretary Hegseth was right. They have stage four Trump derangement syndrome. And it is inconceivable that you would have elected officials that are saying to uniformed members of the military who have taken an oath to protect and defend that they would defy the orders that they have been given to execute their mission. I find it inconceivable, but that is what they have chosen to do, and we will see what the response to them from Democrats. And I find this just so disturbing that they would say, defy the orders if you do not like the orders.
Yeah, if you don't like the orders, you defy them. That person has never been in the military, I promise you. So Senator Blackburn is making it clear. There's anyone out there, I want you to find that person and point them out to me, see if they're really going to defy the order. You defy the order, you are in violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. But again, the whole thing has been based on a false premise. Colonel Leavitt, once again.
The sanctity of our military rests on the chain of command. And if that chain of command is broken, it can lead to people getting killed. It can lead to chaos. And that's what these members of Congress who swore an oath to abide by the Constitution are essentially encouraging. We have 1.3 active duty service members in this country. And if they hear this radical message from sitting members of Congress, that could inspire chaos and it could incite violence and it certainly could disrupt the chain of command. These three members of Congress, I will also add, knew exactly what they were doing. You look at Alyssa Slotkin. She's a former member of the CIA. Mark Kelly was a captain in the U.S. Navy. Maggie Goodlander was a naval officer. And notably, she is also the wife of Joe Biden's national security former advisor, Jake Sullivan. And so these members knew what they were doing. They were leading into their credentials as former members of our military, as veterans, as former members of the national security apparatus to signal to people serving under this commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, that you can defy him and you can betray your oath of office. That is a very, very dangerous message, and it perhaps is punishable by law. I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to the Department of Justice and the Department of War to decide.
Carolyn Leavitt, the White House spokeswoman, but she's right on target. They're leaning into, quote, their credentials. These are the same kind of credentials all the intel officers leaned into when they signed off saying, the Hunter Biden thing is a whole Russian collusion story. Do you see? Do you clearly see? I know you do. Well, how bad is this rhetoric? Aside from elected members of Congress, which exist, how about elected members all across the nation? I'll give you an example. Oh, I have one. You knew I would have one. Chicago Mayor Johnson is suggesting that President Trump wants another civil war.
So we know that the intentional attacks that are coming from the Trump administration and the extreme right in this country has very much been what I call is it's an attempt to relitigate the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Right. They have not accepted the results that the North actually won. Oh. Right. Because if you look at all of the attacks, it's not just black cities. He's going after education, housing, transportation, good paying jobs and health care. Those are literally the five demands of descendants of slaves post Civil War. So it's evident that they are not, you know, committed to actually realizing the full dream of what this country can offer.
Mayor Johnson, let me help you out on history. The North won. The North won. The South surrendered. Period. But yet you want to continue to preach this hate and put it all on Trump. It's all Trump's fault that we had slavery, right? You know, they had a teacher in Chicago. They got arrested and turned out a lot of background on this teacher. This teacher never should have been in front of our students. And one of the residents in Chicago lays it out.
Another video goes viral, this time in Chicago, when a teacher is arrested on her school grounds in front of little children. This is what the media is forgetting to tell you. This woman who was arrested is from Colombia. She came into America illegally in 2023 under the Biden-Harris administration. In Chicago, she was given a work permit so she could work. So she was working at this elementary school. That morning, as she was driving to work, she was pulled over for a traffic violation. She did not cooperate with the officers. Instead, she fled and she drove her car right to the school, parked in the parking lot, and then went on the school grounds.
And so, therefore, she was arrested, as rightly as any one of us who's a felon. Coming up, an Epstein update for you. Hakeem Jeffries, are you listening? Hakeem, you better be listening for this. Plus, the story behind the story. The sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, as told by Gordon Lightfoot, and other details. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. 855 EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. The offer St. Louis cannot stop talking about being held over due to popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you could qualify for zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal by Anderson is the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. You've trusted that name for more than 122 years. And our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. Anderson products are also proven to increase your home value by at least 15%. Don't miss out. Schedule your complimentary consultation today at rbastl.com or call 877-WINDLES, 877-WINDLES. Renewal by Anderson. Award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We were gone for about 2 months because we couldn't talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And now everybody wants to act as if they want to have like a real honest conversation about the victims and the survivors and everybody else. Where was this conversation a long time ago? And I know that y'all love to go back and say that Joe Biden didn't do it. You know, Joe Biden is blamed for everything. Joe Biden didn't do anything and it was Joe Biden's fault. And why wasn't Joe Biden? Joe Biden didn't campaign on it. I just want to be clear. If y'all can run me the tape, then run me the tape. But you know, when you campaign and you go out and you make a promise, then we evaluate whether or not you actually meet your promises. So listen, this was rope that y'all decided to hang yourselves with because the president campaigned on the Epstein files while we were campaigning on things such as affordability.
Oh, that's Jasmine Crockett. We were campaigning on affordability. If that's what you were truly campaigning on, you have flunked. You failed. You're not making things more affordable. In fact, Trump is. I'm going to give you a full breakdown in the next hour as to how many things are changing and looking better. And we're not even into 2026, and it's going to get even better. Could there still be some dips here and there? Yes. It's the economy, stupid. It does that. But all the fear and the fretting and the sky is falling around you with the tariffs, it didn't happen, did it? Has not happened, will not happen. Oh, maybe I should correct myself. Maybe you will not be able to get as many toys from China this week as you move into the holidays. I don't know. Amazon's probably shipping them somewhere. They're getting to you one way or the other, aren't they? But there's Jasmine Crockett saying, you know, why does everybody want to make all this noise about Epstein? I mean, we didn't do it, and the reason we didn't do it is because Joe Biden didn't campaign on it. I have a question. Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. It's very simple question. What did Biden campaign on? Whoopsie. You can't answer that one, can you? No one can say, what did he campaign on? Well, he campaigned on, we'll circle back to you on that. He campaigned on nothing. He campaigned on nothing because he had nothing. Trump did campaign on, we're going to get one, rid of all the illegals. We're going to bring your costs down when we do. We're going to open up our shores again for exporting and importing as well. We're going to do more drilling and fracking. We're going to make our nation energy independent. Everything Trump campaigned on, he did. What about the Epstein files? Yes, they were brought up as part of it, but it was not a campaign promise all the way. But I'll let you phrase it the way you want. I'm not looking to hide anything from the Epstein files. I want them all out there. Dan Bongino has said it as the assistant FBI director. In fact, he said, from what I've seen, this got to be dealt with. Pigash Patel, the same thing. Pam Bondi, now she's the one who spoke out a little early, perhaps, saying, we got them all. I got all the files right here. And then was slow to show anything. There are two ways to look at that. I'm not going to make an excuse for it. I'm just trying to tell you, keep your mind open for options. I have all the files. Had not gone through them, but I have all the files. Okay. Or I have all the files and I have gone through them and there's nothing there. I'll repeat again to you. I don't really care who is named as a bad person in the Epstein files. If he can come down to Trump and you've got the proof, I don't mean just your lies, that it should be laid out, shouldn't it? But the young woman who committed suicide claimed that she never saw Trump do anything wrong. And the other question is, do you think if they had any evidence that he had been doing anything he should not have been doing, reference Jeffrey Epstein and trafficking women, do you not think that would have been wall-to-wall coverage? Oh, it'd been bigger than shock and awe when we began the Iranian war, right? It'd been wall-to-wall coverage. You couldn't turn on anything. You could be listening to music and they'd be interrupting. Oh, by the way, Trump and Epstein are together. Everything would have been interrupted. What happened? Well, apparently it didn't exist. Or if it did, they don't have it yet. If it still exists and it's being hidden up, I say again, make it public. Bring it all out. I have no issue with that. Do you? You shouldn't. You want the truth, right? That's what we want on this program. We want to bring you the truth. There are times you're not going to like it. It's kind of like if you're going to be truthful about, did you get into the cookie jars? And you're going to say, no, Mama, I didn't. But you got chocolate chip crumbs all over your lips. What do you think the facts are going to say? But right now, they're just of the attitude with, as Jasmine said, Biden didn't campaign on Epstein. Why are you guys making a big deal out of Biden and Epstein? They, again, are looking to deflect. That is exactly what they do each and every time. Deflect. Derail. And the best one of all that they learned from Bill Clinton when Monica Lewinsky was in play, so to speak. No, I'm not going to say that. It crossed my mind, but I'm not going to say it. Ruins a good cigar. Aside from that, Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton said, with his staff surrounding him and the First Lady standing dutifully beside him, he looked into the camera and shook his finger. Those of you watching right now, you're going to love this. If you're not watching our live stream, you should. He shook his finger and said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know what he just told a lot of kids? Doing what he supposedly got, that's not actually considered sex. Really? That's a whole new meaning of sex. I thought that was considered to be a sexual relation. I guess if you're the president, it's not. Now, let's look at something else dealing with the Joe Biden and Epstein case. Because again, as you heard from our dear Texas Congresswoman Crockett, who by the way says she's got a good chance to win election as senator next time around. There was a question that got raised to House Oversight Chair James Comer. Basically, the question I'm going to tell you in advance, because it's a little hard to hear, is he prepared to have Bill and Hillary Clinton arrested if they refuse to comply with any of the Epstein subpoenas?
Mr. Chairman, there are two very important people that you subpoenaed early on, or excuse me, that you asked to voluntarily cooperate. They didn't schedule their interviews. Now there's a subpoena. But Bill and Hillary Clinton, if they continue to duck you, will you take them to court? Will you try to enforce a subpoena? Will you go the Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro route?
100%. We're going to go that route. We expect to hear from Bill and Hillary Clinton. Look, Donald Trump's answered questions for years about Jeffrey Epstein. Every day he gets asked questions about Epstein and he answers them in front of the American people. We've subpoenaed Republicans and Democrats. Two Republicans have come forward, Bill Barr and Alex Acosta. They did interviews and deposition, and those were tough, but they did them. They didn't back down. Other Democrats have sent letters that saying they knew nothing about Epstein, which would hold in court if something ever comes out that they did know something, then they committed perjury there. But the Clintons have never responded. They're the one group in this investigation that's never had to answer questions in front of a credible reporter, and they've never certainly answered questions from attorneys or members of Congress.
No, they haven't. They haven't. They have not done that. They have not done that, have they?
I expect the Clintons.
But let me ask another question. Let me ask another question. Let me interrupt the congressman for a moment. What was Hakeem Jeffries doing while all the Epstein stories were breaking? What was Hakeem Jeffries doing? He made it very clear what he was doing. Hakeem Jeffries was busy raising money. He made a point to be raising money during that very same time. You know why? Because he saw an opportunity to jump in and to absolutely make that happen. Why not? I mean, it's all part of the game, and it happens on both sides. You get a chance to raise while your opponents are reeling against the rope, you do it. I have no complaint about him doing it. But let's just keep in mind, they want you to think that Epstein was not such a good guy. He was a good guy, but he wasn't a good guy. Same thing with Donald Trump. He was a good guy when he was a Democrat, not such a good guy now. And Hakeem continues to play it both ways, too. Give me your tired, your poor, and the money for Epstein, please. I'll make good use of it. All right, coming up, our feature we now have on the 6 o'clock hour, every hour, every day, Monday through Friday. The story behind the story.
On Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Listen up. The offer St. Louis can't stop talking about being held over by popular demand. Right now, renewal by Anderson. Buy any window or door, get the next one 50% off. Plus, you might get zero interest, no payments for 18 months. This is Renewal by Anderson, the full-service window and door replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted more than 122 years. Our exclusive FiberX frames, 200% stronger than vinyl. And remember, Anderson products increase your home's value by at least 15%. So make sure you take advantage of the offer while it's still being held over. Schedule your complimentary consultation at rbastl.com. 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, renewal by Anderson. This is award-winning quality, stronger windows, smarter investment. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Yeah, you want my body and you think I'm sexy. Come on, sugar, let me know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitchagumi. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. Ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? Tattletale sound and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November.
And that is a story of the Edmund Fitzgerald that sank in Lake Superior in 1975, this month in 1975, 29 crew members on board. Then we had Gordon Lightfoot decide to turn that into a terrific piece of prose and music that is a haunting sound. If you're familiar with the Great Lakes, there are, of course, five. Lake Superior is the largest by both surface and in volume, followed by Lake Huron, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, and then Lake Ontario. The Fitzgerald was loaded and making its way through Lake Superior with all 29 crew members and the captain on board. But exactly what happened was not that clear. 50 years ago, there was no way to predict the weather as we can now. Some think it might be very close to what would be called a perfect storm. Hurricane force winds battling this ship as it tried to make its way. It was loaded with iron pellets to be used for additional construction. To this day, they still don't know the exact reason. Many believe a hatch got left open and water started coming in. And then maybe another hatch blew. And can you imagine the terror on board the Edmund Fitzgerald at that point? They've also had other thoughts that maybe there was some kind of other structural failure with the ship. Maybe it did hit some kind of shoal that was undocumented on the charts they were on. Or maybe they were not even on the right course. The winds were that severe, trying to hold the boat on navigational course without exposing it to wind that would flip it over possibly. Gordon Lightfoot's 1976 song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, certainly made that shipwreck one of the most famous in the Great Lakes. It happened 17 miles off of Whitefish Point, Michigan, if you've ever been in that area. All of those aboard, all men, the pilot and the crew, perished. No one survived. The exact cause, as I say, it's still going to be disputed and battled for some time to come. The Coast Guard and the National Transportation Safety Board did point to several possibilities. One, obviously, flooding, as I mentioned, that one of the hatches either blew open or was not properly secured. And with the waves as big as they were washing over the ship, maybe some cases 60 feet or higher, it didn't take long to start the ship listing, and by that, the cargo also moving, especially if it's filled with pellets. Whether or not they were encased wouldn't have made any difference. The load was shifting. Some do believe the ship simply could have broken apart from that storm. It was not built for hurricane force winds, especially upon that lake. Few ships ever expected hurricane force winds in Lake Superior. And then again, false navigation, a correction to maybe save the ship. It hit a low spot, a shoal, and got stuck, and from there it could not move, and it continued to be pounded relentlessly. It was bottomed out, and therefore, while it could not move, it just was going to get deeper and deeper underwater. We will never know the stories of the men who were on board and what they were trying to do in those closing minutes. We will never know of maybe one man in particular who did everything he could to save the others, but he also failed. An aircraft, a U.S. Navy aircraft, did locate the wreck on November 14, 1975. And was found in two large pieces on the lake bed. That absolutely adds to the storyline that the Edmund Fitzgerald broke apart. It does not say exactly why, it just says it did. In 1995, they recovered the ship's bronze bell. If you're ever at Whitefish Point, you can see that bell. It's on display at the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum as a memorial to the crew. The Fitzgerald was not the first ship to go down in any part of the Great Lakes, but it was the largest. And were so many pieces of confusion around it that they've yet to begin to figure out exactly what happened. You have to keep in mind, those of you familiar with the Great Lakes, they connect ultimately to the Atlantic Ocean via the St. Lawrence River. and also connect to the Mississippi through the Illinois Waterway. But at this point, when you're in the middle of Lake Superior or trying to get to a spot where you would find some safety harbor, none was available. They estimate the surface area of all five lakes would be equal to the size of the United Kingdom. And Lake Michigan, the only one of the Great Lakes entirely within the U.S., forming a water boundary between the U.S. and Canada. The stories that have been told over and over again about the Fitzgerald are stories of legend and tragedy at the same time. It is one of the most exposed and yet still most misunderstood sea disasters. And to that extent, it did not happen in the Atlantic nor the Pacific. It happened in the Great Lakes. The winds had come up unexpectedly, and there was no way for the captain to begin to correct course. Gale force winds hitting a boat that was one of the largest to ever set sail across Lake Michigan. But there is more to the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. Not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Winds were gusting up to 100 miles an hour, pushing what could have been 60-foot waves. The Fitzgerald lost its radar, sustained some structural damage, and began to list or lean to one side. Bernie Cooper was captain of the SS Arthur Anderson, which was trailing several miles behind the Fitzgerald that night.
Those two seas were the biggest that we ever had. And I just wonder if those two seas didn't catch up with the Fitzgerald.
The night of November 10th, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in the frigid waters of Lake Superior, just 17 miles from safety. Today, the ship still sits at the bottom of the lake, more than 500 feet down. No bodies were ever recovered.
And they will not be. But there is possibly an explanation as to what took place. Based on some of the latest investigations, one report being issued earlier this month, again, 50 years ago this month, the Edmund Fitzgerald went down. When it left port in Superior, Wisconsin, November 9, 1975, with 26,000 tons of iron ore for a journey to the steel mills of Detroit, it was a routine mission. Been traveling that route from Lake Superior to Lake Huron to Lake Leary and back for more than 15 years. Had been, of course, hit by heavy storms before, but it was the biggest ship to ever sail that route, and it was not expected to have any kind of difficulty. As they pulled out that day, there was no concern about the weather. McSorley, the captain on the Fitzgerald, and Bernie Cooper, as you were hearing, on the Anderson, were in contact by radio as the wind continued to pick up, whipping snow into squalls, and soon waves two stories high and more crashing over the ships. And the belief
is at around 3:30 in the afternoon. The Fitzgerald reported damage, snapped railings, broken vents, which meant taking on water. The radar was out. The ship was slowed, trying to hold its angle the best it could against the onslaught of waves, which continued to pound away. Anyone not lashed down or inside was probably already swept aboard, swept ashore, I should say. The end came apparently just before 7 o'clock that evening. Two large waves crashed over the bow, and that headed toward the Fitzgerald. The captain of the Anderson said, "We're holding the best we can. I don't know anything about the Fitzgerald. They're 17 miles behind us, and if they got hit by the same waves we did, there's not much chance for any of them to come out." Thousands of vessels have gone down in the Great Lakes over the past few hundred years. Hundreds still uncovered. Many have stories, of course, which still have a mystery. But this ship, while not the only vessel on the lake that stormy November night, it was only one to sink, despite being built to withstand even worse conditions. So what did happen? The most likely? Yes. One of the cargo holds came open, broke open, and now in addition to the cargo, it is taking on tons of water. At that point, the men had no chance. Coming up in our next segment, we're on the Epstein case. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.